Welcome to the Listen to Your Gut podcast with international best-selling author Jeannie Patel-Thompson. Because the body is the messenger for the subconscious. The body is the densest part of the soul. Hi, I'm Jeannie Patel-Thompson, and I'm an international best-selling author of Listen to Your Gut, Natural Healing for IBD and IBS. I've spent 25 years helping people heal their gut disorders. I myself healed from widespread Crohn's. I've been drug and surgery free for almost 30 years now.
Thank you. I'm Natasha Trenev. I'm the founder and president of Natrin. I have been in the fermented food field for 60 years. I know everything about fermented foods. I introduced the whole concept of probiotics in 1982. People didn't even understand what I was talking about. My two probiotic standards were accepted by the entire health food industry of the United States and eventually read into congressional record. And I'm still working because I believe that if we solve the problem of how to create a healthy microbiome, we're going to solve the disease problem in this country, whether it's America or Canada. And many people don't understand fermented foods. They don't understand bacteria. And there's a lot of misinformation. And we are at a what I call critical phase in human history. And I have sold more than 20 million bottles of my flagship Healthy Trinity. And I'm not here to sell you anything. I'm here because I truly care. And I'm working because I want to save the children. That's my biggest mission now, is to save the children, regardless of whose they are. I believe they're all our children.
Yeah, Jeannie, you know, you and I have been doing talks forever. We're close friends and aligned, you know, philosophically, spiritually, and on many levels. And, you know, I've spent my life studying these microbes that are literally part of our being. You know, they are more, we have more microbes in our body than we do human cells. Mm-hmm. And these human cells replicate themselves every year, 50 trillion of them. And so what we're going to discuss today, the chemicals that are put in the air, that are put in the soil, that are put in the water, that we're absorbing either directly or indirectly, is causing a huge, you know, tick in illness progression. And most people are not aware of that. And especially in the United States, I don't know the Canadian data, but I believe the chronicity of disease is firmly rooted in these chemicals that our body is absorbing on a daily basis, and we don't even know about it.
Yeah. And there's some doctors like Dr. Zach Bush, who's really been on an education crusade about glyphosate, like just mm-hmm. that one chemical, how badly it affects, you know, the gut and the entire body. So people are trying to educate, but there's still so much ignorance. And, yeah. you know, whatever's happening in the States is happening in Canada, just maybe right. at a little less intensity because we have 10% of your population, but it's right. still happening there.
Well, I'm glad you're mentioning him because I don't want to get into chemical names because it's way above people's heads, unless you're into chemistry. But let's talk about glyphosate. Glyphosate was first patented as a very potent antibiotic. So most people don't know that all the chemicals that are used in our soil to get rid of pests are usually very strong antibiotics. And what these antibiotics do is they disrupt our natural balance of the microbiota, not only in our 27 feet of intestinal tract, in our reproductive organs, in all of our organs, in our bloodstream, and even in our brain cells. And so people need to know that you can inhale them, you can drink them. It's also can go through your skin. Most people are not aware of that. When they touch pesticide-laden food, that can go through your skin. And that's very alarming to me because what it does and why I think one of the major causes of disease, it's not the only cause, but the major cause of disease is these chemicals are what we call endocrine disrupting units. And when they disrupt our endocrine system, everything in our body is affected. You know, we cannot
get rid of the toxins sufficiently, it starts attacking our organs, breaking down our organs. And interestingly enough, I did read today in one of the 5 or 6 articles that I read to prepare for the show, that it also affects how we metabolize sugar and the content of glucose in our blood. That was something new that I didn't know.
I didn't know about that either.
Yeah. So if it's disrupting our endocrine system, it's also disrupting the way we handle sugar and glucose in our blood. So all these diseases are either directly or indirectly linked to the chemicals that most of us can't even pronounce. And we would have to do a deep dive on a Google search or a ChatGPT to find out what the heck is this chemical and why it's being used. And so I believe that the reason for 80% chronic disease, especially in the States, is partly due to the chemicals that we're absorbing in our foods on a daily basis that disrupt our endocrine system, that disrupt the body's ability to metabolize food to create energy and to have clear thinking ability to face every day with a positive attitude. And I think that understanding that we are responsible for this, because I find that the younger generations are more ignorant. They don't understand bacteria. They believe everything they hear. Some company that has millions of dollars for advertising, never researched, never studied. And it's like telling me that everybody on the planet can make a space shuttle. They can't. That's how complex making these microbes are. And the fact that we cannot play around with any organism that is not 100% safe and effective for the human being is another problem that we have. So we have a problem with the pesticides and the chemicals causing disruption in every body function we can think of, including raising the blood sugar level in our blood. And then you have people selling products that don't have any effect, because if you had a true probiotic product, a special species from lactobacilli and bifidobacteria, they have evolved with us. They are part of us. And they have a vested interest to keep us healthy. Why? Their primal directive is multiplication of their own kind. And if the body, the human body, is the best place for them to do so, they're going to figure out ways to help us eliminate those toxins that are making us sick and not the best host for them to thrive. It's a very simple formula, and most people don't understand it. So these are such brilliant microorganisms that they can neutralize the toxins, they can help the body eliminate it, and they have a direct communication with our immune cells, who are now causing inflammation because they perceive cells that have come into contact with these poisonous material are defective. And that's what inflammation is, the immune system destroying what it perceives to be a defective cell. That's why you have redness. That's why you have heat. And most people do not understand this. It's a very simple process if you break it down. That's why I try to avoid using very sophisticated language, because I need people to understand the system. If you don't understand the system, you're going to be sold garbage. You're going to be told garbage, and you're going to believe garbage. So we are here to enlighten you so that you can discern appropriately what it is you're intaking in your food. Your body will talk to you, what it is that you need to add. And I'm telling everybody in North America, I don't care where you live, you are deficient in these natural bacteria. Because why? If you weren't deficient, we wouldn't have this explosion of illness of every category. You know, pharma gives us names to all these diseases. And I think personally, my opinion, it's done on purpose for us not to understand that the body is connected. These things don't happen in isolation. They happen because something is happening when we're processing food and chemicals through our 27 feet of intestinal tract and trying to eliminate those toxins so they don't damage our body. It's that simple, really. She's smiling. I mean, I was thinking about this. You know, I can give you name of chemicals and probably in 2 seconds, you're going to forget the name of the chemicals. But the process is what you need to understand.
So what do you do, if I can jump in here? because you're 77 years old, you mm-hmm. work a full day, you have an incredible responsibility, like you do like real work. It's really crucial. So your mind has to be very sharp. You have to have the energy levels. You're in great health. So, and you live in the United States. What are you doing on a daily basis? Can you take us through your kitchen, your house, mm-hmm. all your environment? Like, what are you doing so that, number one, these toxins and pesticides and chemicals are not entering your system? And number two, for the ones that do get in, how are you protecting and neutralizing?
Great question. Many years ago, I got something called the Life Source water filtration system that filters all the water coming into my house. Okay. So I know I can't dig out all the pipes. It would cost a bloody fortune. Mm-hmm. So knowing that I have PVC pipes, which are plastic, I then put an additional filter underneath my sink, a carbon filter, which catches anything that may be accumulated in those pipes that lead to the kitchen sink. And then on top of that, I use something called a zero filter. My friends think I've lost my mind, but I haven't. So I take that twice filtered water and now I put it through the zero filter, and that's the water I drink. Okay. Right. That's so important for you guys to understand that water, you know, by the agencies, at least I know here in Southern California, it's not, you know, I don't care if it's Los Virginas Water Districts, if it's Water and Power of Los Angeles, they're not doing their job because they're not telling me that they have developed a sanitation source that can take, you know, water from your toilet and, you know, filter it and make it clean. I said, maybe the process is good. I just don't trust the people using the process.
Exactly.
Does that make sense?
No, I totally agree. And I'm on a 160-acre ranch. I have a 5-stage water filtration coming off my well, and then I put it in a stainless steel Berkey filter. And then that's the water that I drink. So, and I've tested the water from the Berkey and the water out of my tap, you know, using the work of Masaru Emoto and Veda Austin, who study water as a responsive living organism. And they study how, you know, the emotions affect the crystallization patterns in water, and, you know, fascinating work. So I froze in the water from both sources. And even if I were to take it straight out of the tap, it's still great. It freezes into these beautiful, organic, healthy crystalline structures. Mm-hmm. So water filtration, yes. Worth spending money on.
While we're talking about water, you know, water molecules are the new computer chips. That's another topic for, you know. So yes, water is important. Then second of all, I try to only use distilled vinegar and baking soda. I'm trying to get rid of all these chemical things that you do to wipe down your counters. I'm very sanitary. God bless my husband. He doesn't allow anybody to wash their hands in our sink. They have to go either in the toilet to wash their hands or they wash it in the laundry area. And then you come into the kitchen and you don't put your fingers everywhere because we always have fresh food, you know, and we try to eat the way we ate in the old country. You know, we do have eggs every morning. I have organic pasture-raised eggs, you know, they're 3-minute cooked. I'll have that with a dark rye organic toast. That's sourdough, doesn't have any yeast. And I use real butter and I use real extra virgin olive oil. That's usually my breakfast and lunch.
Nice.
And then, you know, I'll either have a fresh apple, a peach, or blueberries for a snack. And then I will have occasional, you know, organic beef, grass-fed beef, because that's in my, you know, historic diet. I will have lamb, I will have chicken, and I will have fish. Because historically, my people from Macedonia and Serbia did not eat a lot of fish. And they were very healthy. They ate cheese. They ate yogurt. They ate lamb. They didn't have lamb more than, I mean, they didn't have meat more than 2 times a week. It was mostly sauteed vegetables. We made whole meals out of bean soups, out of, you know, green beans that my mother used to saute. And we would serve it with some feta cheese. And, you know, toast. I am trying to recreate a diet that created a very healthy population in the Balkans. And I'm not trying to be someone else. And I have now intuitively learned how to know when something doesn't feel right because my stomach doesn't feel good after I eat it. The minute I feel that, that's it. I'm done with that food. I don't care if somebody thinks it's the best thing since sliced bread. It doesn't agree with me. I don't eat it. So I did try to go back in the culture. And unfortunately for everybody that lives in North America, I do. The reason I started my company, Natron, the retail label, and ProTrend, the professional label, is because I saw the problems. I work with greats like Bernard Jensen. I taught him about acidophilus. I work with greats like Adele Davis. I taught her about acidophilus. I knew about beneficial bacteria before people even knew the names or how to pronounce them.
Well, you have 750 years of yogurt making in your lineage where you supplied all the royal families of Europe. I mean, there's not many people who've come from the background and the indigenous knowledge of yogurt and bacteria that you carry within you.
Right. So the unfortunate reason is I do live, even though I live in an agricultural zoned area here in the Malibu Canyon, Unfortunately, we are exposed from the fires, from the chemicals they sprayed in the air because of the fires. I just had a cleaning crew here spending two Mondays all day scrubbing down every lamp, everything. You cannot believe what was on those lamps.
And tell me about your air filtration that you have in your house.
Yeah, it's a Swiss-made air filtration. It's a three-phase level. It's used in Swiss hospitals, and it takes everything down to the barest microbe. You know, micron, everything is filtered. Every chemical, every microbe, every virus, everything is filtered down and the air is kept crystal clear. We do open the window one time a day to make sure that we don't, you know, get this same air in the house. So we try to do everything with common sense and an attitude towards, let's see how that affects our living quarters. I don't have any wall-to-wall carpets in my house. It's all floors. We do clean thoroughly every week. We keep things clean. We don't have a junk pile everywhere. And, you know, the probiotic intake is a ritual every day, and it's not because I make them. One of my other friends, beloved like Ginny, told me from the beginning when I started, they said, you know, you probably develop these products because you personally need them yourself. And that's probably true because I'm an immigrant child that grew up in Hollywood in the 1950s when the smog was so bad. We had smog alerts almost every week where we were told to stay inside. And so living under those conditions for years, I think did have an effect on my health. And I'm lucky that I come from strong stock. Otherwise, it could have been worse. Mm-hmm. So we are all exposed to that. We're all exposed to something in the air, something that's being sprayed. We're all exposed to ridiculous fires, which would be a topic for another thing. And so I've kept it simple. You know, bacteria are the smartest things on the planet. They're smarter than viruses. And maybe they compete with yeast for intelligence, but they don't do anything that's not in their best interest. So I try to find bacteria that evolve with Homo sapiens and that are part of our natural habitat, because you don't need 20 different strains. They're not part of your natural habitat. You may come into contact with them, with the food, but it's not what your natural habitat. And believe me, I've spent well over 60 years studying this and translating material from many foreign libraries and really studying this in depth. And I find that I want to use only organisms that are in the literature for more than 100 years. I don't want to use something that somebody just started using and using it in large numbers. And I'll tell you why. I stuck with acidophilus. Many people have come to me with what I call other organisms. And I said, look, I test all of my bacteria, first of all, where they like to live in the human body. Are they able to get rid of these pesticides and these toxins? do they have an interest in keeping me healthy? That's what I'm interested in. And then I know where they like to live. They're not going to live somewhere in your GI tract or in your vaginal area or in your reproductive area if it's not in their best interest. I don't know how to get, you know, open people's head and say, hey,
because,
they're not
because
stupid.
People are not thinking about probiotics and bacteria as intelligent, sentient, living creatures. Yeah. They're thinking of them like vitamins or something. They don't understand that these critters were here millions of years before us. They'll be here millions of years mm-hmm. after us. They are in many ways smarter than us, and yes. they have the ability to communicate with each other. Dr. Bonnie Bassler's work is mm-hmm. fantastic about bacterial communication and how sophisticated it is.
Yeah, they use photon light emission, and then they use chemical means, and they do communicate with our immune cells, every one of our immune cells. And so I know that Acidophilus is something we call a facultative anaerobe. It means it can live with or without oxygen. So it prefers to live in the small intestine. And that's why I've kept this, you know, people have offered me multitude of Lactobacillus species, other species. I said, no. I test every bacteria that they get along. Because if my bacteria that I'm selling to my human beings that are buying these products are not compatible, the last thing I want is my bacteria competing and not truly being there to help the human host. As like I said, it's a very simple philosophy. Mm-hmm. And so another thing, it's very important, these bacteria don't produce compounds because they love us. They produce compounds because it suits them. So when you grow them, you have to incentivize them to be ready to produce these compounds that are helping the human host live well and be healthy. Otherwise, they won't do it. They just pass through because 40% of your dry weight fecal matter is bacteria. So if somebody that's making probiotics does not understand all of this, that's why we're not making progress getting people better. They're not getting better because they're, I can assure you, that from somebody that wanted to come and join us, and I'm sorry it didn't work out, but they went throughout the United States, throughout Canada, and throughout the EU. And Natron is the only vertically integrated company that makes and tests and ships their own probiotic products. And the reason
only, let's emphasize that, the only one, because I too, you know, I'm not a sales rep for Nature. You have never paid me a dime. I purely recommend your product for 25 years now mm-hmm. because I have been unable to find anything else that I could say, you can have Nature or you can use this. There's no or. It's even in Germany, even in Japan, where we should have, you know, much higher standards, mm-hmm. nothing.
You know why? Because it's run by microbiologists that are indoctrinated into this medical system. And I'm not, you know, talking about science being bad. I'm just saying that there is an indoctrination system. And, you know, clinical studies are looked at clinical studies, but let me tell you, each individual has a unique composition of these bacteria, like their fingerprint. So somebody has to take all of these variables into account before they sell you even one organism. And so I was the first person in North America to bring in the word bifidobacteria. For years, people didn't know what the heck I was talking about. I studied the Japanese literature and I studied the research in Germany. Found out that these are obligate anaerobes, meaning they only live in the presence of no oxygen. They don't like to thrive where there's oxygen. Remember, they don't waste cellular energy to impress us. They could care less. So, of course, they're going to line your large intestine and possibly the lower part of your small intestine, the ileum. And they do perform incredible functions. They do communicate with the immune system. They're the final waste evacuation processors. I call it your large intestine, the waste and disposal system. By the way, the colon is part of the large intestine. And they're very important for us to keep toxins out. Because if the toxins don't get out through the feces, guess what? They're going to go back to your liver. And we have huge problems in Western societies with livers not being healthy. That's another topic for another day. So that was my second one. And the third bacteria I chose was a Lactobacillus bulgaricus. And the reason it's called bulgaricus is because a prominent Russian researcher that worked with Louis Pasteur at the turn of the 20th century decided to call it Lactobacillus bulgaricus because it was part of one of two bacteria that made yogurt. And so he called it like, and this is an incredible Lactobacillus because he wrote the book Prolongation of Life based on the study of this bacterium. Mm-hmm. And he found that people live longer and are healthier if the body's able to eliminate toxins. If the body's not able to eliminate toxins, it causes premature aging and something that we call dis-ease, because the body's not able to produce the 10 million cells we lose every minute. So he called this the longevity bacteria because it's one of the one in three probiotic bacteria that can actually pre-digest food for you. It can actually have incredible communication with the killer cells and the T cells, which are your first line of defense. And that's some great Japanese work that was done in this. But the reason most people don't want to touch it, it's horrible to grow and stabilize and sell. It's like a headache. It's really? A real headache. Yeah, literally. I mean, it has its own mind. It really has its own mind. And you have to meet its criteria. Otherwise, it just, you know, doesn't want to, you know, do anything. So that's what was the concept of me getting the bacteria that wants to stay in the small intestine, the large intestine, part of our transient flora. And then the fourth bacteria introduced, again, I was the first one, was a Bifidobacteria infantis, which even in the 1980s, the European journals were citing that mothers in westernized countries were no longer able to transfer this essential bacteria to their newborns, even if they were vaginally born and breastfed. And I was sounding the alarm and people didn't know what the heck I was talking about. I mean, they looked at me like space cadets. So what are you talking about? What bacteria? What do you mean Bifidobacterium infantis? And then again, this is a very difficult organism to grow. Most people lied about what they were growing, what you need to give to infants. And without getting complicated, the Bifidobacterium infantis is unique. Why? It's the one species of bacteria that human milk oligosaccharides were designed, and I believe by our creator, to feed exclusively. And that's the only prebiotic that I would ever consider, because I know it's designed and it's in mother's milk to feed the specific bacteria. And why is this important? Because infantis is one of the few bacteria that can actually stimulate your immune system to be up or down. But what does it mean? To become, you know, aware if there's an something there present that's going to harm the human host, or to tell the immune system to lower its activity because it's overreacting. There's only food coming across the intestinal wall. And I firmly believe this is the cause of our problems in Western society, because mothers in North America are not able to pass on this bacteria, even if they're if their child is vaginally born and breastfed.
So I'll comment on what I think was super important. You said that it can tell the immune system to downregulate.
That's right.
Stop being so hypersensitive.
Yes.
To stop being on high alert. And so for people with gut diseases, this is critical because, you know, way back when I was first researching, you know, 30 years ago, why don't I tolerate any probiotics, even the tiniest mm-hmm. amount? And then I found the papers in gastroenterology journals showing that in advanced disease states, the body loses tolerance to all bacteria, including its own. Why? Because the immune system has gone berserk. It's gone into overdrive. And so then you're like, well, how do you get that immune system to downregulate? How do you get it to calm down? Mm. So you can start to introduce some positive bacteria. So you can start to shift the immune system. So what we found for a lot of my readers is when they're hyperreactive and hyper intolerant to everything, mm-hmm. we say start with your LifeStart product, the Bee Infantis, because go back to what you didn't get when you were a baby. Start at the very beginning. And so they will start with just a pinch of the Infantis bacteria, mm-hmm. and then they'll gradually, and then once they're on that and tolerating a full dose of the LifeStart bacteria, then they can start, okay, now try, depending again on their bowel system symptoms, if they're tending towards diarrhea, we tell them to start with your bifidofactor, right? The mm-hmm. bifidobacteria. If they're tending towards constipation, we say, okay, now start with the bulgaricus.
Yes.
The digestilac bacteria. Start mm-hmm. with just a pinch. Gradually add in, and this is the way that you can, like you said, these are super intelligent creatures. Let's work together with them. Mm-hmm. Let's enlist their help. And for me, when I drink my probiotics in the morning, and sometimes I'll take it in the evening as well, I actually talk to the bacteria. Like, I'll put them in a little cup like this and I'll say to them, thank you for coming to help me. I really appreciate you. I surround you with love, and I drink them because they are sentient live beings.
And you know how I can prove you right? Those of us who are in the fermentation business have a real challenge when the culture person goes on vacation. Because if a person comes in with negative thoughts, bad feelings, bad aura, actually the set won't set. They'll have to sit there twice as long, three times as long before the culturing set is something what we call sets. Or like if you're making yogurt, it's time to take it out and put it in a cold storage so it doesn't over ferment. But it's a really interesting thing because they do react to human beings that add them to this vat to either make yogurt or we're making specific probiotic bacteria. They are sentient beings. And if you are always negative, you don't produce the chemicals and they're more likely to leave your body because you're a terrible environment. Remember, they don't stay in your body because they love you. They stay in your body because it's the best place for them to thrive. If your body no longer provides that environment, they leave. It's as simple as that.
So we also utilize this technique for those people who are open to it. Let's say you have a really stubborn pathogenic infection of mm-hmm. like C. difficile or candida that you just can't get a handle on. If you can, either by yourself or working with a practitioner, dialogue with that bacteria, that pathogen's consciousness, and ask it, why are you here? Like, what in me is exactly what you just said, Natasha, what in me is making me a good place for you to live? And oftentimes mm-hmm. the answer is you have an unresolved trauma. It could be an emotional trauma. It could be something from your past. There's, and it's not, because you're already doing all the physical things. The physical things are easy to do, but these are live, conscious, sentient beings. So when we mm-hmm. move to the level of consciousness and we start talking to them, and then we realize, oh, I'm like you said, like what in your body is still harboring negativity, trauma, unresolved hurt, because those are disease environments. Those are imbalanced, negative attracting environments. And so it's our work to lean in and say, how do I bring myself into wholeness and positivity? How do I heal that trauma? And so top therapies that we use are the EFT or laser acupressure tapping, mm-hmm. hypnotherapy, craniosacral at level 2 or higher, and somatic experiencing, based on the work of Dr. Peter Levine, is very important because you have to have a therapy that integrates between the mind and the body. You can't just go for talk therapy. Oh, I'm out with your psychotherapist. No, now you know why you're so screwed up. You know why you're in so much pain. And guess what? You're still screwed up and you're still in pain. You have to integrate into the cells and tissues of the body.
Absolutely. And you hit upon a point that I should talk about more, that your negative thoughts invite a disease state.
invite a disease organism to start ravaging your body because you don't love yourself. And that's a hard concept for people to understand. You become the playground for that destructive microbe. And it's very interesting, you know, I want to talk about this even later. For instance, we all have species of Clostridium. Clostridium is not a really good genus for people to be ingesting, especially as a probiotic, because, and I want to go through this data, but I just want to alert everybody. Clostridium perfringens is a bacterium that's found in small amounts in certain individuals. Now, when that individual has a trauma and becomes a bad host for the good bacteria, this perfringens organism has a chance to overgrow, meaning dominate a territory. And one of the ways that wants to dominate a territory is by producing a toxin. Why does it produce a toxin? To get rid of competition. And while it's producing this toxin, it's destroying your cellular structure. Now, here comes the punchline. And I want to really investigate this. They said that this toxin that Clostridium perfringens produces when it's allowed to overgrow, because probably you have a toxic environment from pesticides, chemicals, God knows what, it produces a toxin that attacks the myelin sheathing of your nerve cells, which henceforth may cause multiple sclerosis. Make sense?
Yeah.
And I said, you know, this is one thing the medical world is not talking to people about. That's all these reactions. You are a spiritual being. You are, the bacteria are a sentient being. There's this unique harmony between the bacteria and the human host. And your thoughts are powerful. They create reality. And when they create a certain reality, you either become a good host for good bacteria or you become a bad host and you're going to get bad bacteria to dominate. That's a very simplistic explanation, but in tune with what Ginny was saying, that they do react to your thoughts, that you do react to your negativity. And the more poisons you fill your body with, the less the good bacteria want to stay in your body because it's a dump. It doesn't want to stay there. It's really, she's laughing, but you know, that's the only way I can explain it to people. It's like you wouldn't want to live it where trash is dumped. And that's what your body becomes, a trash dump, because you're eating chemicals in your food, you're getting pesticides, you're breathing foul air, you're having foul water. So you become the attraction for exactly what you don't want. Pathogenic bacteria, pathogenic yeast, and other organisms that are only going to harm you and create a disease that you probably will not be very happy with.
And it's really hard too culturally, because so much of our culture and, you know, people who are single and working a lot, we eat out a lot. We love to eat out. But if all the food in our restaurants is tainted, poisoned food from chemicals, from factory farming, from glyphosate, from, you know, how many times can we eat out before we're starting to create that garbage dump in our body? And then how are we supposed to stay healthy when we're eating out that much, because we can't control those food sources?
Exactly. It's a real problem, because it's hard, because I work a long day, you know, to cook. So I'm very careful if I do eat out, where I eat out. I ask a lot of questions. And I know that, you know, the less expensive the place is, the probably the least expensive foods that they're getting. So that's a good question to ask people. And, you know, I'm even thinking that we should go maybe to the old fashioned, you know, what they used to have, these restaurants within a boarding house. You know, you would come in and they would have two things on the menu. And you would choose one of those two things on the menu. But you knew that there was some nice woman or man in the kitchen preparing that meal fresh from, you know, fresh ingredients. And I was thinking about, you know, that's not a really bad concept to introduce to people.
That is such a great idea. And you know what just came to me when you were saying that? I was like, this is the next evolution of the farmer's market. You know how everybody loves to go to the farmer's market because they know what they're getting. They're buying off the farm. Well, what if the farmer's market evolved to a food stall Or a food truck. And this is what we had in Asia when I lived in Japan and Singapore. You had these little stalls where all they did was like noodles, right? Like ramen. But the broth was made from real bones that were bubbling away for 24 hours in a pot in the back of the stall. Like the vegetables were from the family farm. Like that's really all we need. We need just a return to the simplicity of those really nutrient dense, clean, pure, whole foods. And then you could eat out happily and it wouldn't have to cost, $50 a plate.
And that's what I'm thinking, because that's what I wanted to share, because my mom, God rest her soul, when I was born in Belgrade, Yugoslavia, the former Yugoslavia. And when I was a little child, my mom would go to the open air market and she would buy whatever was in season fresh. And she would make that fresh. And everything she made was absolutely delicious. And that's what I'm thinking, where we need to go back, And the reason, unfortunately, we need supplements like probiotics is because until and when we're able to establish that healthy culture that's, pervasive in our society, we're going to be sick nations. We're going to have sick children. I just had a dear friend lose a child at birth. Why? Because the mother had an unresolved urinary tract infection, and they called me too late. And this is, again, younger women don't understand these things. They're not just a nuisance, they're a real big problem, especially if you're expecting a child. And so all these areas, you say, how is this related to food? It's all related. One thing that big pharma and the medical community did, they separated everything in categories. So everybody thinks this is separate from everything else. It's not. It's all part of the greater good or the greater bad. And we have to now start rebuilding the greater good and get rid of the greater bad. To
I
me,
think
it's as simple as that.
a really good question to ask ourselves is, does this support life or does this support destruction? And it really boils it down into very simple terms. Is this for life? Is this for destruction?
Well, probiotic literally means for life. And I wish I could take credit for the word, but it was actually used in the animal husbandry industry. And maybe most people don't know how I came upon this. I was doing some work with a friend and a fellow at the University of Southern California. It's called USC. And they were doing field tests in animals, and that was the first test I had on my acidophilus, was using it in cows. It was a pretty good study. And it dawned on me, and I said, wait a minute. Farmers raise animals for profit. Why are they interested in using probiotics to make their animals healthy? Why aren't we as human beings using something like this to make us healthy? That's the light bulb that went off. And I said, and what happened in that industry, the animal industry, the word probiotic became so loosely used that they had to change it to direct fed microbials, because the word was used for everything under the sun except the microbes. So this is unfortunately what happens even in the human society, where we use pesticides, chemicals, and then we are surprised that we're sick. And we go to the doctor and he says, oh, I'm going to give you something to handle that, blood sugar, or I'm going to give you something to handle that pain you have in your back, or I'm going to give something to suppress your immune system so it doesn't cause inflammation. And to me, I think all of us have to think about that. What are you actually doing? What are you actually doing? The immune system is sounding an alarm. You got poison down here, pesticides, chemicals, and I'm going to start destroying these cells that are defective. And then you send them an anti-inflammatory, and the anti-inflammatory is saying, shut up, I don't want to hear that message, instead of really taking care of the problem. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Th this is what we're doing. We're
But
telling the immune
this is the
system to
whole
shut up.
basis. This is the whole basis of the medical complex is don't listen to the body. Don't figure out why the body's sending a message. Just suppress it or cut it out.
Cut it out.
It's a system that we've chosen because guess what? It requires no effort from us other than popping a pill or going in and having a surgery. But the human organism is not going to thrive under that kind of treatment. If our body is speaking, it's just like, you know, our body is speaking for our own good, not because it wants to make our life hell and difficult. It's like, hello, we need help. Just like the bacteria, we're here to thrive, not just to survive, not just to limp along through life. We are here to thrive. So if there's something that's causing your body to depress and to not be able to thrive, your body's going to let you know. Are you going to listen and actually go to the source and go, oh, wow, yeah, I need to filter my water? Because that's putting a real big toxin load and a real big, you know, chlorine chemical. And, you know, most city water has all kinds of pathogenic microorganisms in it. And how about I get rid of that? How about I get rid of that? I buy myself a stainless steel Berkey filter with a fluoride filter for the cost of a cell phone. I can afford a cell phone. Why can't I afford a water filter?
It's priorities. That's why it was expensive to put the Life Source. It is stainless steel and it filters so that I'm not even inhaling, you know, chlorine or fluoride in my shower. That's very important. People don't know when you shower with that water, it really, you know, goes through your skin. So, you know, as a wrap up, look, Ginny and I are not here just to sell you product. Most of these people come in, they claim they're gut gurus. They claim that they're going to give you a parasite cleanse. They claim they're going to make your life better. But my question to all of you is, how much better are we all? The level of disease has not changed. All, you know, and I tell this to people in functional medicine and even alternative medicine. How many people are we actually getting better? Or are we just buying, you know, things that somebody sells us, just like they do to doctors and big pharma, but we're not getting anybody really better? Or the small percentage of people we're getting better, we're producing sick children. We have sick adolescents. We have sick young adults. We have people who want to commit suicide when they're 30. There's something radically wrong with our culture. Mm-hmm. We're spiritually deficient. We're deficient of the right bacteria. We're deficient in, you know, knowing what environment we need to live in. And we're just putting ourselves in a box. And if it sounds overwhelming, start with one or two little things. Find people of like mind. Hang out with people who support your ideals. You know, I always say, I'm always surprised because I don't drink. And then I see people popping $14 for a glass of wine. I'm saying, my God. You know, how many good things can you buy for $14 except for that half a glass of wine you're going to have feeling very elegant? I'm not criticizing you. I'm just wondering, why are you paying $14 for this amount of liquid?
Good point. So I'm going to give people a quick list for what you can do right now that doesn't cost a ton and it doesn't cost any more than items you're already paying for, like your cell phone and your alcohol out and all the rest of it. So number one, the Berkey stainless steel water filter is the best and in that affordable price range. Number two, get a HEPA, H-E-P-A air filter for your bedroom. Mm-hmm. Because when you sleep is when the body restores and repairs and detoxes. So just pick that one room in your house, pick your bedroom, have your HEPA air filter in there. Make sure you have no Wi-Fi and no cell phone radiation in your bedroom. Unplug your Wi-Fi from the wall, put your cell phone, if you have to leave it on, put it in the kitchen so that if something comes through, you can hear it, but it's not radiating you while you sleep because your body has its own electromagnetic field and cell phone and Wi-Fi is our electromagnetic mediums. They interfere with you, that not in a beneficial way. Number two, switch to whatever amount of natural bedding you can afford. If you can get a natural latex mattress, 100% do it. If you can't, just get 100% cotton mattress cover for your existing mattress, 100% cotton sheets, 100% cotton, you know, anything that touches, or like for your duvet, wool is the best substance that I find, or, you know, anything natural. Get the synthetics out of your bedroom. Get them. And like Natasha said, if you've got carpet in your bedroom, if you can afford to, get rid of it. It's better to have an untreated bare wood floor than carpet because
absolutely. Carpet is a death trap.
Yeah. So just focus on that one room in your house and get it to be as clean and healthy environment as you can so that while you're asleep, your body can do that repair and detox. And I don't know if you like this, Natasha, but a lot of my readers find if they take the Natrum probiotic last thing before they go to bed, that it then those bacteria have all night to work. And
It is true, especially if you take the Bifido, because you find you're going to get a much better night's sleep because your liver is not busy detoxing because the bacteria are detoxing. It takes the burden off the liver. And I say the liver controls your circadian rhythm. So your circadian rhythm, you know, is controlled. If your liver is working overtime all the time, and even I tell people when they travel in different time zones, it's the liver that determines how you're going to adopt. Mm-hmm. And I tell people the worst thing you can do is drink alcohol on a flight because it's going to burden your liver and you're not going to have a pleasant adjustment to the new time zone. So you're right. Those are the things I tell people. If you can find $5 for a Starbucks coffee, you can find money for a Natrum probiotic supplement. And that's the one thing, along with all the things that Jeannie said, get your good water filter, get your, you know, good mattress. Mine is more than a HEPA filter that I have in my bedroom. Yeah. It's a 3-stage filter. It's expensive. Most people can't afford it, but I did it after the fires because I know what's in the air.
Yeah. But a HEPA filter, that's why I'm saying a HEPA, and I'll tell you what you, what a HEPA filter will do, because the house that we used to live in was surrounded by blueberry fields. And so my daughter and I started getting these hay fever allergies, except they weren't. They were our body trying to flush the pesticides that, because the blueberry fields would spray at night when nobody could see them.
Oh, yeah.
And then they would be carried in the wind. So I just got, okay, what's the allergen filter, blah, 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 this HEPA filter, not very expensive on Amazon. Mm-hmm. Both of us symptom cleared. And we just put it in our bedroom at night while we slept.
Yep. Those are simple things. And I think if we can do that and help people, you know, find things, I'll be happy to recommend it. Like I said, I've made a pact that I'm trying to keep terminology simple because I find that people listen to it, but they don't really understand what I'm saying. So forgive me for that. But, you know, you're right. Air, water, bacteria, food, perception of reality.
Yeah.
Five things. You take care of that, your perception of reality. You wake up every morning, think, oh God, thank you for another day. I'm going to really have a wonderful day. Everything's going to be good. You start, you know, and you go look in the mirror and you say, I love you. You know, you're good. You're a good person. You know, most people don't know that. It's not being egotistical. You have to love this entity, this being. If you don't love yourself, how can you love others?
Yes.
You know,
and
go ahead.
Once a week, go to a farmer's market, go and buy directly from the farm, talk to the farmer, get to know them. Just once a week. Don't make it a big burden on yourself. Because a lot of people are like, I can't afford organic food. I can't. Well, you know, at that farmer's market, there's a lot of farmers there who don't have organic certification, but they follow regenerative and biodynamic methods. They don't spray any chemicals whatsoever. They just don't want to pay for a certification that's become largely meaningless and invites a lot of bureaucratic interference. And when you talk to the farmer, you'll actually find out. And it doesn't cost that much as going to your grocery store because you're buying direct from the person that grows it.
Yeah. And you can even arrange a visit. If you're buying something direct from a farmer, just say, hey, can I come and visit you? And most of them will say yes.
Yeah. And how about balcony gardening? You can have, you know, but again, like if you're in a highly polluted area, you probably don't want to be growing your veggies on your balcony unless, you know, you're going to be really
hydroponics, you can do, you know, natural full spectrum light inside. You know, they have those, I don't know why they have them in California, but they have them. You know, there's many ways you can go around that. And actually what you need is like 3 square feet and you'd be amazed what you can grow in those 3 square feet.
You can grow enough food for your family. It's unbelievable how much we'll grow. But the easy button is go to the farmer's market once a week, right?
Right.
It's not expensive. It's very easy. Doesn't require any time or energy investment from you, but just it shows your body, okay, I'm willing to put less bad stuff in you. I'm willing to, you know, start creating less of a trash dump in here.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm just saying that, remember what we said, air, water, food, get the bacteria back in your body. That's what we need to, you know, start with. Don't be overwhelmed by buying 20 supplements and stuff. If you get the bacteria, the food in line with the environment, you're going to start getting better. These things that we told you today, get rid of the chemicals in your life, get rid of the bad karma in your life, change your perspective on life, and things will start to change. Honestly, I can promise you. Look, I'm still okay. I'm not perfect, but at 77, I think I'm still doing pretty good.
I would agree. Thank you, Natasha.
All right. Have a great day, guys. Let us know your questions. I'd love to hear them.
Okay.